This is Yusuf.
This is
In-Flight Entertainment, the university.
The Thanksgiving University throwback. We're just throwing all the words in there.
Yes, happy Turkey Day, everyone. I hope everyone is. I know we all can't enjoy everyone's company like we used to, but the one or two people that you choose to, you know, spend the day with, I hope you're spending it well. I hope you guys are getting nice and plump and enjoying, you know, movies and drinks. And as we reminisce over simpler times when we didn't have COVID. Yes.
Right. In a time of college days where you could gather in large crowds, get drunk, and party.
Yep. Toga parties.
Yes.
So I gave it away, but what? Oh, so which throwback are we about to jump into, gentlemen?
We are doing the 1978 classic National Lampoon's Animal House.
Yeah, this came out July 28th, 1978, 3 days after my birth. I would like to say
I was 3 and a half, and my sister was about 8 or 9 months old at this point in time.
Yeah, so the newbies were on the scene around this time. So July, things we were watching on our box TV, going from right, Fab.
Before we had remote controls, you didn't really have cable, so you only had like 12 or 13 channels if you were lucky.
Yeah. You had your antenna. You know, get that signal right. Yeah, so you can watch your shows. So from 5 to 1, 5 was Angie. I don't remember that one. 4 was Happy Days, of course. 3 was Mork and Mindy, Nanu Nanu. Jack Tripper and the Ladies with Three's Company, number 2. And Laverne and Shirley, number 1. Yes.
And Laverne and Shirley was a spinoff from Happy Days. So basically you had two related shows in the top 5.
Exactly. Was Mork and Mindy spent off from Happy Days?
Mork and Mindy was a spinoff from something, but I don't think it was Happy Days.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, Laverne and Shirley. I don't know.
Laverne and Shirley was a spinoff from
Happy Days. Yes. I gotta look at that.
I know that Mork and Mindy was a spinoff from something, but I can't remember what it was. Maybe it was Three's Company.
Maybe. Yeah, I know it was one of those Gary Marshall produced shows. Right. Yeah. And the song. Well, so yeah, Saturday Night Fever was, yeah. So How Deep Is Your Love? The Bee Gees. Well, that's what it is.
Oh, yeah. Because like in the mid 70s, disco was king.
Yeah. Yeah. You had your Donna Summers. You had your, you know, Earth, Wind & Fire was doing some stuff. And I'm going to say on record, and a lot of bassists can agree with me on this, some of the meanest bass lines was in disco songs.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep. Anyway, so yeah, so now we're on Animal House. So who was in this crazy madcap film?
Now, the big name was John Belushi. In almost every clip from this movie, it's basically a John Belushi clip. You also have Karen Allen, Tom. How do we say his last name? Hulce. I don't know how to say his last name.
Yeah, I don't know how to say that.
Stephen First, Mark Metcalf, Mary Louise Weller, Kevin Bacon.
Kevin Bacon, of course, gotta have him there. And last but not least, the Donald Sutherland.
Oh yeah, I can't believe I was forgetting him. Yes.
I keep forgetting about the Donald Sutherland.
He's only in, like, I think three scenes in the entire movie. He plays a literature, like the creepy college literature professor that introduces the college kids to drugs and then sleeps with one of his students.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Marion from Raiders of the Lost Ark. So Karen Allen is Marion from Raiders of the Lost Ark. So I always call her Marion because that's how I knew her through Raiders of the Lost Ark. So yeah.
Right. And she's like the straight laced, like good college girl. She's not uptight. She's there to get an education / sleep with her professor, and is trying to keep her boyfriend out of trouble.
Exactly. You know, whether or not that's success to be seen.
Right.
So the film takes place, what, 1962? 1962, yeah.
At 1962 college, the dean is determined to expel the entire Delta Tau Chi fraternity, but those troublemakers have other plans for him. So I mentioned Tuesday's episode, super secret probation. DTC was put on super secret probation by Dean Warmer because he wants to kick the kids off campus. Mm-hmm. And they have to do well and scholastically and stay out of trouble. And that includes no drinking. And they fail at all of those things.
Yeah. It's not like were they even trying to like abide by it, or it seemed like they were just like, nah, nah, nah.
Yeah, I don't think so. We should mention this movie was directed by John Landis.
Yep. The John Landis.
Yeah, I think we did Blues Brothers. Did Blues Brothers.
No, we didn't. We didn't review that.
Oh, we didn't. We just watched it as a group.
Yep.
Got it. he did Three Amigos.
Yes.
Spies Like Us.
Yes.
Coming to America.
Yes.
The Hills Cop 3. You know, he's done a couple movies that are probably pretty big out there. Mm-hmm. He also did this movie.
Exactly. So this is...
And the movie was actually written by Harold Ramis, mm-hmm. which where do we know him from?
Well, Harold Ramis is Egon from the old Ghostbusters films. He also directed Groundhog's Day, of course. It's just funny, like these movies back in the 70s, how you kind of have like the usual suspects of like comedians and directors and writers kind of in the same clique. And throughout the years, you just see them kind of collaborating and just bringing out movies together. Like Jen would say, Harold Ramis was the writer of Animal House that would later go on to connect with Bill Murray and, you know, Dan Aykroyd, you know, and, you know, for Ghostbusters. So it's just pretty interesting, that whole circle of kind of comedians or writers and directors back in the day, you know, that would just kind of be on each other's projects.
I think a lot of them got connected on Saturday Night Live. It was really the like early mid 70s in New York where all the comedians were sort of gathering and connecting and doing the Saturday Night Live thing. Mm-hmm. So a lot of them came out of that world.
Oh yeah, totally. Did you know that this is Kevin Bacon's first movie?
I mean, he's a baby in this movie.
Yeah. You have to do a double take sometimes. Like, oh, is that? Oh, yeah, that is Kevin Bacon. Like, that looks like a baby. It's a baby.
I mean, it just adds to the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, the 7 degrees of Kevin Bacon. And that when you put him in this and all of his other movies, it's like, oh, he's just connected to everyone.
That he is. Yeah. The film opened up with two students who
are hoping to pledge a fraternity. So they're doing the, whenever you pledge a fraternity or sorority, you get to go around and tour all the houses so the current members can meet the future pledges. And they first go to an uptight, super, like, put together fraternity, and they're sort of sidelined. It's obvious that they're not going to get in. So they go to the next fraternity house, and that's where they meet the DTCs and get accepted into that fraternity.
Oh, yeah.
It's just a bunch of outcasts.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And it's funny, like, how, like, they were, okay, of course, the university to achieve some sort of higher education, but it seemed like this particular, we just hit a party, like, whatever.
They're to drink, party, and fuck.
Exactly. I have a toga, like the classic toga party, you know, scene, of course, that may or may not have destroyed this song, because weddings, especially white weddings, you're going to hear this song ad nauseum. Now, like I said, I don't know how, I'm sure, well, Animal House made this song just popular through the roof.
The Otis Day song?
Yes. Yes. I mean, no, the sequence is hilarious. It's fun, but I just have, like, you know, PTSD of, like, the white weddings I used to go to, and they used to, like, play this, like, all of that. And then that's why everybody, like, get on the floor and, you know, jumping around and shouting and stuff like that. Okay. Right. Yeah. It's like someone's been watching Animal House. but it's a fun scene. Fun scene.
Yes, it was. So we basically, like, the movie is just a series of unfortunate activities by the DTCs. And that includes, like, they're at the golfing range and they see two of their pledges being hazed by the ROTC captain. And so they hit golf balls towards him and the horse. That guy gets taken out by the horse. Mm-hmm. And then they, as a prank, take the horse to the dean's office and end up killing the horse. What are some of the other pranks? They try, because they're on scholastic probation, they steal the answers to a quiz, but get the wrong answers. And so everyone fails the test.
Yeah, and then the last, the final prank is the parade, right? The parade.
Yes.
It was more like an ambush than a prank, that last.
Yeah.
But hey, you know, they got their comeuppance. That was messing right. with Belushi. So
the parade is basically they disguised, they weren't supposed to be in the parade, but they disguised one of their cars as a giant birthday cake, and they sort of take over the parade, and then the birthday cake float opens up to be a tank underneath, and they end up taking out not only the entire parade, but all the spectators. And then we find out what happens to each of the main characters at the end of the movie.
Yeah. Yeah, for better or worse. Oh, okay, to get back to that shout song. All right, so I got this this kind of fun fact stuff, courtesy of, actually, it's a good website called Mental Floss. They have really good, like, fun fact stuff. All right, speaking of shout, Otis Day. You know, he changed his name. His name is not Otis Day, but he changed it, you know, after the movie. His real name is Dwayne Jesse. After the popularity of Animal House and the song, he legally changed his name to Otis Day, which is smart. He still tours with the band.
Fancy. Yeah.
Yep. Hey, you know, he can get lots of money he could be making or still making, you know, doing white weddings, receptions.
And then probably the most famous scene from this movie is when John Belushi puts an egg in his mouth and he asks the people across the table, what is he? And then he busts his face. He says he's a zit.
I'm a zit.
That was all ad-libbed. The entire cafeteria scene up until I think the food fight was ad-libbed. So it was John Belushi being basically like a total glutton. His character in this movie to me was really gross. He's a bit of a pervert, peeping Tom. Because I listen to so many murder podcasts, and they always talk about like, what are the things, what are some of the signs of people being sexual deviants later on, and peeping Tom and that type of thing is always one of the things that they list. And so I just couldn't get out of my head through the entire movie and that he was a sexual predator in training. So that was... my current podcast listening sort of messed up the enjoyment of this movie.
Yeah, well, he was doing some borderline, you know,
inappropriate things.
Well, I'm not gonna say borderline. He was doing the inappropriate things that he could, if they did a splash title card at the end that said he went on to a cross-country killing spree, but ultimately got caught, you know, I mean, it would make sense, right?
Right. Well, but at the end, his character ends up becoming, I think, a senator. And I was like, well, okay, that makes sense. Sure. Why not?
Yeah.
Killer, senator. Okay.
Yeah. Movie producer, whatever. All in the same. And like you said, this movie is more of a vignette of crazy situations, you know. And like you were saying, like so many characters pop in and out, and you don't see them for like X amount of scenes, but then they come back. You see them in a scene, like maybe 40 minutes later. You're like, oh, just like you're saying with the Donald Sutherland character, like maybe three good scenes he was in. Like that's it. Yeah. It was at a point where I forgot he was in the movie. I was like, oh yeah, he's the professor, because you don't really get screen time in this movie. It's kind of like that with some of the other characters. Kevin Bacon is not really in this movie either.
No, I think he's also in only two or three scenes. At the beginning, when the frat boys are being hazed, and he's being spanked.
That's her, man. I'm another.
Yeah. And then at the end, when he is sort of he's trying to direct the crowd during the parade when everyone starts to freak out, and he ultimately freaks out and has a bit of PTSD, it looks like.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. Let's see.
But okay, so wait, going back to your earlier comment, that you know, they were on campus but not really learning anything. We have to remember, so it was 62 college. Mm-hmm. They were probably all in college so that they could avoid being
going
to Vietnam War. Yeah. So this was their out of going into the army. So why bother learning? They just have to stay there long enough so that they are too old to go to war.
Yeah, okay, that makes perfect sense. I stand corrected.
So, yeah, John Belushi's character at the end, he says, there goes 7 years of college. And that's because he was really doing it upright.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, that was smart. And I think one of my favorite lines personally in this film was the scene where I forgot the names. Like they take the girls to like the black club or black bar, and you know, and one of the guys see Otis Day, so he's kind of fronting like he knows him. He's like, "Hey, Otis, hey, what's up, man?" You know, Otis looking back at him like, "Who the fuck are you?" And so he kind of shuts up and he sits down with the girl and stuff like that. And then you have the black dudes coming, like kind of walking up to the table. Yeah, I was like, can I have a dance with your dates or something like that? I forgot what he said. And
he says,
and like the dudes just dart out and just leaving the girls. And my favorite line in the movie is, the Negroes took our dates. Like every time he says that, I roll off of the couch laughing. This is why I said, the Negroes took our dates. The Negroes took our dates. Oh man, yeah, it's so inappropriate but so hilarious at the same time. Look, we were 80s people. Like, yeah, we used to laugh at stuff like that, you know, because it was comedy, whatever. Black people found it funny. And all those other different crazy situations with this movie.
Apparently a lot of the pranks and activities in the film were actually inspired by Harold Ramis's experiences at college at Washington University in St. Louis. So that must have been a fun college.
Yeah, it's so funny. Harold Ramis seems so like straight laced and nerdy. Who thought he was a party animal? Egon was a party animal, which is crazy. Yeah. Let me ask you this. How much cocaine you think they had on set? We're talking about Belushi, like he was on set.
Right. I mean, and he was also like at the time he was filming this movie, he was also doing Saturday Night Live. So he was flying back and forth between Oregon and New York every week during the entire filming. Mm. So he, like, for anyone that hasn't done that, like, I've done the back and forth a few times every month for 5 years. And that shit is exhausting. And you definitely, after doing it twice in a month, you hit a brick wall where you just have to sleep all day, and he wasn't getting that opportunity. So I'm sure just him alone, he was doing a shit ton of coke to keep going.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's my theory. Cause the next major movie he did after this is Blues Brothers, right? Like him and Landis went on to do Blues Brothers. Cause Blues Brothers is 1980 and this is 78. Okay. So I'm assuming Blues Brothers was the next like big thing he did after Animal House.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, cool. All right. So
Well, before we get into the rating, so for those of you that don't know much about Oregon, so this movie was filmed in Oregon. Mm. Oregon was the first whites only state in the Union. It was settled that way. And so even today, when you go to Oregon, it is a bit of a racist place, except for Portland. And so all the black extras had to be bused in from Portland, specifically for the nightclub scene, because there was a scarcity of people of color.
Yep. There you go. That's Oregon for you guys. Yeah, I mean Portland's cool.
Yeah, there's still sundown cities in Oregon, which is just crazy to think.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, now it's like, I mean, what Low Crowd Country had an episode about that, and that was like in the '50s, and like it's still doing that. Like, yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, so, you know, go straight to Portland. Don't veer off any place else in Oregon.
Agreed.
Yep.
Agreed. Okay, so our rating system is ass on the sofa. Go ahead and watch it. Putting your shoes on. You're not sure if you should watch it or go. or go on the street and be trampled by the parade floats.
Yeah, you know, after watching it, I guess I have the same problem with as I deal with our Tuesday movie school days, which is like it's not really narratively focused. It's just like scenes. It's like just prank scenes and just kind of crazy scenes and kind of characters you don't really know who to focus in on, because like a character might disappear for a while and come back and then like, yeah. Yeah, it was funny. Yeah, definitely. But I put his shoes on because, you know, it definitely felt like they didn't really know how to tell like a full on story with all of these kind of stories that Harold Ramis is collecting and say, hey, let's do a movie. And B, too many characters, I guess. I think if they would have shaved out off maybe four characters, it would have been more of a streamlined like story. But I just felt, I guess everyone had to have some screen time at a certain point. And it's like, oh, okay, I remember this story. Okay, let's have this actor. Let's replay this story for this scene. And then we just piece all this shit together and all that stuff. It just kind of felt that way rewatching it. But I mean, it was still funny, still hilarious. I mean, Belushi gives like one of his craziest performances.
Yeah, I mean, like I said earlier, there was definitely I would give it the same rating. It jumps around. It definitely feels like the writers were doing a shit ton of coke and have ADD, and were just writing things that popped into their head, and then they wanted to go film everything, and they put it together in a movie. Mm-hmm. But there's definitely some iconic scenes in it, and also some disturbing scenes in it. So
yes,
yeah. So choose on.
Yeah. I mean, you know, yeah. If you haven't seen it, it's definitely, like you said, there's definitely disclaimers with this one. Like you said, the whole Peeve It Tough thing, and the whole like, will he not rape this 13-year-old girl? With the angel and devil sequence, I'm like, okay.
But then he like meets the parents. And they're like, and we're getting married, and I'm like, she's 13.
Yeah. Well, hey, you know, Elvis married Priscilla at 14, so whatever.
Right, and Jerry Lee Lewis married
his cousin.
His cousin at 14. Mm. Yeah, I know that shit happened, but still, it doesn't make it right.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah, so yeah. It's definitely. Yeah, you definitely have to watch it through a different lens if you want to like enjoy it now. Because there's a couple of scenes where you're like, ooh, yeah. I don't know. But yeah, so yeah, we have Animal House. Yeah, hope everyone is enjoying their Turkey Day. In the last week of November, we're going to have some cool reviews lined up for December, for the holidays, for everyone to listen to while you're wrapping gifts and putting up a tree and doing your... Oh, I was going to give away one of the movies. But yeah, so yeah, you guys enjoy yourselves today.
And I hope everyone stays safe. And for those people that normally meet in large groups, I hope that you opted to stay home and keep it small to protect your loved ones so that you can have large meetups next year.
Exactly. So the key is, guys, let's do what we need to do this year so we can get back to hanging out again this time next year. Okay, so let's take this for the team right now. Let's go ahead and do what we need to do. So by this time next year, we'll all be toasting because we'll all be together under the same roof. How about that, guys? Let's do this. We can do it. I believe in you. Until next week, we wish everyone safe physical distancing in.
Wear a mask.
Yes. Happy Thanksgiving. Spend the night away. Here's a fella in blue jeans dancing with a
twisting the night away. Man, you ought to see her go, twisting to the rock and roll. Here you find the young and old, twisting the night away.